Today on Real Radio.
And he said to them, thus and so, Micah did for me. Remember that? He gave me money. He gave me a change of clothes. I'm employed by him. I'm a rental Levite. I'm his own personal priest. It's the coolest thing. I tell him what to do. He pays me. What kind of a... I can't get a better job than this anywhere. This is tremendous.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in chapter 18, and in a mini-series, the title of which is very familiar to us. It's a slogan that's found its way onto many a t-shirt and bumper sticker. If it feels good, do it. Quite obviously, we're examining those passages that were recorded during the period of the Judges that have parallels to our society today. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I don't know about you, but all the mothers and fathers of America ought to rise up and demand that the fifth commandment be put in all schools. Amen. Like, think about it. Honor your father and mother. Get that out of school. What are we thinking? Unbelievable. Number six, you shall not murder. Oh, you can't have that in there. Take all the fun out of school. That means I can't carry my guns into school. Come on, man. No knives. I got to have a knife to murder somebody. You put that thing up, I'm going to feel bad about having a knife in my pocket. And that might offend me. You can't put that up there. Get that out of school. You shall not murder. Exodus 20, 13. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. What? If it feels good, do it. Isn't that the title of the message? Come on, man. We're living in an enlightened age. If I want him or want her, that's my business, isn't it? Think about it. Oh, yeah, you're God and all these thou shalt nots. He's trying to keep us alive. He's trying to keep us from killing each other. It's bizarre to me. Number eight, you shall not steal. The only person that disagrees with that commandment is the thief. A lot of people are getting their signs stolen. They're, yes, on Prop 8 signs. They're getting signs stolen from off their yards. So you call the cops. What's the deal? What's the law? Well, you know, it's a sign on your yard. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Listen, I may be ugly, but I'm not dumb. Here was my argument. Wait a minute. I need to communicate this to my insurance company then. Because if somebody comes onto my grass, into my yard, and takes my sign, it's no big deal. That's right, it's no big deal. Whew! Because I thought if he would come on my grass and take my sign, turn around, slip on a skateboard on my driveway, break his neck, I thought that he could sue me and own my house. Exactly. Well, that's right, he can. I thought it was no big deal if he crossed over into my yard. Well, it's not a big deal unless he gets hurt. Unless the thief gets hurt, now it's a big deal and he can own your house. But he was stealing my sign. We don't care about your stupid sign. We only care about his safety. Isn't that amazing? You say, how did we get here? We forgot God as a nation. I am certain we're not going to make it through this chapter tonight. I had it all timed out. I really did. I'm thinking we're going to make it. It's going to work. You shall not steal. Exodus 20:16. You shall not lie. Who is going to be concerned about that? Only the liar. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not covet. To covet is to have, or to want, I should say, what someone else has. Think about that. I want that. It's theirs. I want it. Isn't this amazing? Who would be upset with this? Nope, we cannot have the Ten Commandments posted in America. If any of you are going to Washington, D.C., I don't care how much time you got there, call a cab and go straight to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Go right up the steps. It's a pretty small place, actually. It's kind of disappointing. Walk in there. I'm telling you, this building's four times the size of the Supreme Court. Inside here. You walk inside the courtroom, you stand there and you look. Best thing about it is all the artwork, the engraving, the reliefs, I think it's called. Is that the right word? All the way around. Wow, it's beautiful. Right over the Supreme Court Justice's head, the Chief Justice's head. And they've got Hammurabi and all these other lawgivers of history. But the big guy, and he's bigger than anybody, by the way. All the other guys are like half his size. And he's sitting like this. He's sitting down on like a throne. And he's got his hands like this. And he's got two tablets. And they're labeled in Roman numerals, 1 to 10. And we ask a law student takes you on the tour. And we asked the law student, he named everybody around the room, literally, this guy, and this is, you know, Bozo the Clown, and it's like, who are these people? Excuse me, who's that guy in the middle, the big guy holding those tablets? He told us, my wife and I, Lisa, were there, the guy said, I'll get back to you by the end of the tour and answer that one. Either he knew and he wouldn't say Moses' name in public, or he didn't know. How did we get here as a nation? It's unbelievable. Okay, verse 2. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor, from Zoar to Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. So they're heading up north now. And they said to them, go, search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, beautiful area, by the way, to the house of Micah, remember him from last week, and lodged there. And while they were there at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice. It's actually the dialect, the accent of a young Levite. And they turned aside and they said to him, who brought you here? He wasn't supposed to be there. He's supposed to be down at the temple that was down in Shiloh in the south. Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Look at the third question. And what do you have here? And he said to them, thus and so, Micah did for me. Remember that? He gave me money. He gave me a change of clothes. I'm employed by him. I'm a rental Levite. I'm his own personal priest. It's the coolest thing. I tell him what to do. He pays me. What kind of a... I can't get a better job than this anywhere. This is tremendous. So he tells them what in the world is going on. Please, so look at this. So they said, thus said to Micah, did for me... He has hired me, and I have become his priest. Verse 5, so they said to him, these 5 spies, please inquire of God, that we may know whether to journey on which we go will be prosperous. This is unbelievable. Oh, whew, you're a priest. Great. Tell us what to do. This guy's got to be thinking, man, this is just an amazing job I have. And the priest, verse 6, said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord will be with you on your way. The Danites had already disobeyed God, and now they're deluded, thinking that God's now speaking to them. You can make up your own rules when you disobey God. That's exactly what's happening. When the real God is not in the picture, you can make up and do anything you want to. In James chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, where do wars and fights come from? Have any of you been in any wars and fights? Yes, I fought in the Second World War. That's exactly what he's talking about, but he's also talking about the fight that you had with your brother, sister, or your husband or wife, too, or your coworker, or your neighbor. Where do wars and fights come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure, that war inside your members, your body, inside? Verse 2, you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? When you lust and do not have, know this, you can never have because lust can never fill you. That's why it's lust. No one's going, oh man, I'm so lustful. I'm lusting. I'm so lustful. And then, oh, that's it. No more lust. Lust is gone. No. Lust never stops. It ebbs and flows, but it never ends until God takes control of your heart. And only the Christian knows what that wonderful experience is like, but at the same time, a war begins. Because now that we are Christians, we have found out that we're going to heaven, but this body of ours still has appetites that it's craving. Many of us are fasting, and there's food that I'm dreaming about now that I don't even like. Because I know that I'm not going to have that. I can't have that. It's so funny. The flesh is like, what? I want. Bible says, watch out. The world is catering to our human lust and desires. It's the biggest moneymaker of all. Number two, look, if it feels good, do it. Look at verses 7 to 10. It's this, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's the way the world thinks. A generation growing up without God thinks that everything is theirs. It's to be handed to theirs. What's theirs is theirs, and what's yours is theirs. No respect. Living for pleasure, verse 7 to 10. Living for pleasure. So the five men departed and went to Laish, verse 7 says, and they saw the people who were there, how they dwelt, mark it, safely and in the manner of the Sidonians, that's on the coast of the Mediterranean in the Lebanon area today, quiet and secure. There were no rulers, that is, they had no enemy forces in the land that was coming up against them to put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, that's not a good thing, and they had no ties with anyone. Translation, they were a bunch of sitting ducks. They had this really cool little house on the prairie kind of world. Everyone's just got the thing going, hey, you know, Billy Bop, and everyone's just, I got to tell you, it is a great area. At the time of the judges, during this time of this, the Sidonians were a Phoenician group of people. They lived in this area of Laish that we're talking about. The Sidonians practiced Canaanite worship there. It's one of my favorite spots. We're going to put some pictures up on the screen that we've taken. First of all, see in the blue the Jordan River Valley? See that? That's, by the way, that's a massive earthquake fault. See the Sea of Galilee in the bottom right-hand side of your screen? You see that? Just below Bethsaida? Go like you're heading towards like 10 or 11 o'clock on a clock. The Jordan River. That beautiful green area to the right, that's all the Golan Heights. Do you see that? See Hazor in the middle? You see all that farmland heading up to Dan? That is some of the most fertile land on the planet Earth. There's one area that kind of rivals it, and that is, believe it or not, the California Central Valley, I believe it's called. Where do we get all of our crops? Somebody help me out. The San Joaquin Valley. Okay, that area, Dan, at the top. These guys are heading up in that direction. See Caesarea Philippi? That's where Jesus took his disciples up there and asked them, who do men say that I am? It's incredibly beautiful. Again, one of my favorite places to go in Israel. I can't wait to get there. It's just an absolute blast. Look at this area. It's like being in Tuscany, Italy, some parts of California. Look at it. Now, hold it right there. Do you see these altars right here, you guys? This is what I love about your Bible. Those altars have been unearthed. That was all covered up with dirt about 20 years ago. These altars have been uncovered. They have found artifacts, pottery, coinage, 4,500 years old. This is during the time and pre-time of Dan. There are dwellings there on earth that I could not find the photograph today where Abraham went into the city gates in this location. The gates they have unearthed, the literal gates. Some of you are nodding your heads, you've been there. Look at those avocado fields in the back. Back up, go back up. So look at the avocado fields in the background there and eucalyptus trees. You see way in the distance, by the way, to the right side, that's the fortress of Nimrod. Okay, next slide. This is the headwaters of the Jordan River that begin up in the area of where Dan or Panias or Caesarea Philippi is. That's pictures taken in the fall, by the way. That's why there's not much greenery there. Next picture. Is there more? Is that it? I thought there were more. No? Okay. Anyway, just a beautiful area. So that's where they've gone. That's where they've headed up. And they said, man, this is a great place to live. By the way, that was Israel. Did you think of sand dunes or something? That's Israel. Just absolutely gorgeous. Look at verse 8. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zoar and Esdraelon, and their brethren said to them, so what's your report? And so they said, arise, let us go up against them. For we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will have come to a secure people and a large land. It's a huge, beautiful area. For God, listen to what he's, for God has given it into our hands. They're using the name of God, but God is not even in the plan. They've conjured this all up because of their bogus, false worship system. A place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. 1 John chapter 2, mark it. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world. The word in Greek means stop loving the world. The implication is this, that the spirit of the world pulls on us. And John said in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. The Greek is emphatic. Stop loving the world. It means that we are prone to love the things of the world. We have to fight it every day. Why? Because it's pulling and drawing and enticing us constantly. Constantly. Do not love the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is entropy. Passing away. It's falling apart. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Matthew 19:16. Matthew 19:16 says, now behold, one came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to them, why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone. He's trying to get the guy to fess up. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Now watch this guy. And the man, he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, Matthew 19. The young man, this is the rich young ruler that you've heard about in times past. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack? And here it is. Jesus, knowing the man's heart, goes in for the spiritual kill to get the guy to see his need. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. You guys, you don't get to heaven by selling the stuff you own. So yeah, that's right. Say, what's Jesus trying to do here? He's trying to see that the guy was so proud of all the commandments that he's kept that he wound up missing the first one of all. The guy wound up having other gods in reality. The things that he owned him. When we get into a pleasure-seeking lifestyle, we think, hey, I'm going to get that thing. You funny person, you. That thing's sitting on the shelf saying, I'm going to get that guy. You see, well, that's silly. Oh, yeah? What happens when you buy it? Call up all your friends. Look what I got. You go buy t-shirts announcing with the logo on it. That's what I have. Think about it. It gets you. So Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to the disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Riches don't keep you out of heaven. It's if the riches get inside of you. There's no room for God there. And these guys were out on this recon mission. They got bogus Levite information. God's going to be with you, go. They're going to go into an area where these Phoenicians are dwelling in this incredibly beautiful little paradise that you just saw a moment ago, and they're going to go take it from them. The slaughter is going to be great. They're going to go up against these precious people, all because they refuse to follow God. 1 John 5:3, I still have a few minutes. We're going to rattle off a few verses. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" That's 1 John 5:3 through 5. Ezekiel 36:27. God speaks to the nation of Israel. This is, by the way, much, much later than the book of Judges. God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36:27. "I will put my spirit," capital S, that is the spirit of God, the person, the third person of the Godhead. "I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them." Church, you reverse that and you'll never know what it is to be free in Christ. If you read it backwards, do the judgments, keep them, all of his statutes, walk in them, you'll be a legalist. You'll be a cult follower. But if you read the verse rightly, he says, "I will put my Holy Spirit in you, and you will keep my judgments and do them." How do you follow Christ? By the Holy Spirit in you. When you open up your heart to Christ and say, "Lord, come in, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior." I never felt a thing when that happened in my life. I prayed that prayer, didn't feel a thing. But I noticed within a matter of hours, I began thinking absolutely different. Kind of freaked me out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a study taken from Judges chapter 18. Its title, a very relativistic and pragmatic slogan we've heard in our day: "If it feels good, do it." Quite obviously, many parallels during the time of the Judges and in our society today. We'll pick up with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, we'd like to extend an invitation for you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio. And there's more than one means to do so. You can call, click, or write, and we'll give you the details on that in just a moment. Now, there's more than one reason we'd like to hear from you. First, quite obviously, we want to hear from our listeners. We want to know how the outreach of Real Radio is affecting your life and growth as a believer in Messiah. Secondly, if you have the desire to partner with us here at Real Radio, that will ensure that this outreach continue here on the air. Remember, Real Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. That doesn't necessarily mean large contributions. It simply means that we want our listeners to partner with us. Now again, you can call, click, or write. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. All contributions are tax deductible. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And finally, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.